Hey again to everybody. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with family. I love and I appreciate each and every one of you. I just first want to say thank you for just an awesome time that we had last Friday when we got together on our getting prepared now, little thing that we did. Back home we say something. And I'm going to tell you that little something's done a lot. A lot of people getting blessed by it. Christine, I want to say thank you again. And to everybody who made comments and had some opinions and some ideals. And I'm telling you, a lot of people want to know more. And so we're going to have to get together. You're going to have to give me some notes. Because, you know, a lot of people said, what's that red jar? What's that miracle red jar? I want that miracle. And, well, that's minced garlic. Amen. And, we had some like right away, we got some garlic. We're like chowing down on it and we glow in the dark now. It's awesome. But anyways, what a great time. And I just thank you all. That was wonderful. We're getting a lot of great responses. Some of the responses you don't get a chance to see, but on YouTube and on Facebook, and we're just so grateful for it. There's a lot of people that want to know what to do. Amen. And you would think that there's enough information out there, but it seems as though there's not quite as much as should be. And then there's the reality of people just speaking to where you live. And so that was great. And I wanted to say thank you for that. And I really appreciate everything the Lord did with that and what he's doing. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, we're going to get started here, but we need to go ahead and pray. I have a really big burden for Puerto Rico right now that I just need to get off of my chest, out of my spirit. So I want us to pray that God would just begin to minister to that nation. It is a travesty and a tragedy what our country is doing by not responding as it should to that nation. They are fellow citizens. And, you know, we need to do more than what we're doing, okay? And so let's pray real quick. Father, I just pray right now with the congregation together, touching and agreeing for Puerto Rico, for each and every one that is there, Father, that is dealing with the lack of power, the lack of clean water, the lack of sanitation, the lack of food, the lack of fuel. Father, for those children that are in hospitals right now, that generators are running out of fuel. Father God, we understand that there's governmental red tape from this nation that's keeping us from sending fuel there. I ask, Father, that the Congress and people in power would get together and approve this passage and allow these different flagged ships from different countries to get in and bring this fuel, Father, to these people. I ask, Father God, for you to do something incredible for that nation, Lord God, so that those people that don't know you would lift their eyes towards you and would be born again, Father God. I believe for mercy in the midst of judgment. I ask, Father God, for the Church of America to rise up somehow, some way, to get supplies there, whether it's through the Dominican Republic, Father God, or through some other nation, Father, that we would respond to these needs, Father. We pray. Come on, church. We pray, God. We pray. We pray for our brothers and our sisters right now. We pray for those pastors that can't even have church service. We pray, Father God, for those that are lonely and scared at night, Father God, the elderly, the children, Father God, those that can't have milk and things that we enjoy. And all the luxury that we have, God, we pray that you would move, Father, and the church would respond in a mighty way. The churches in South Florida would respond, Father God, and all across this nation, Lord God, and all across the world. Father, we pray. We need you in Puerto Rico, God. We need you in all these different regions of the world, God. We need the body of Christ to respond and to be rescuers, Father God, for your kingdom glory and for the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now that we would respond. I pray that doors would be opened somehow, that we can get relief there, and that we, Father, would respond in a mighty way as kingdom people. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray the mystery of God. Pray the will of God when we don't know how. Come on, pray like it's your family that is over there. Pray like it is your children that are abandoned. Pray like it's your own church. Father, it's your church. It's your people, Lord. Sele matale boko, kalele mosho tale, ritere moshondo, ritere moshotro. Open the door, Jesus. Open the door for humanitarian help and relief, God. Sele mandere silele mokate, le moshondere. Let miracles take place, Father God. Let miracles take place in Puerto Rico. Oh, God, thank you. Give favor to the utility workers, Father God, to get the power back on. I know you're doing a deep work in Puerto Rico, Father. I know you're doing a deep work, Father. But I pray that we would show compassion, Father. And this is all we can do from right here. We show compassion through intercessory prayer, God. And I thank you for making a way. Dispatch your angels, Father. Your warring and ministering guardian angels. Dispatch them to the four corners of Puerto Rico. Unlock those doors, Father. Unlock those doors, Father. Unlock the ports and the airports and all places of entrance. And I thank you for it, Father. And I pray, Father God, this would not be a retaliation from this government. Oh, I pray that we are not dragging our feet in retaliation, Father, because I believe in the boomerang of God. I believe what you sow, you will reap. So I pray we're compassionate in this hour. It's been too long. It's been too long. We should have been over there. I thank you for your grace, Father, and thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. God is good. Amen. He is a provider and a way maker. I do ask for you to continue to pray for the congregation in Tennessee who had the crazy devil come into the house of God and do that atrocity. Pray for those that are still recovering. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the community that's in shock. We pray the church can recover. Amen. And that no fear would be in that place. And we've been preaching this a long time. We've been warning and warning. And the house of God must wake up and be discerning. Amen. And I need to go ahead and teach this thing. Because I'm ready to just find me a corner somewhere. Amen. Pray for Puerto Rico, please. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is too long to keep people in that situation, in my opinion. All right, let me get off of that. Let me get into teaching tonight, because this is going to go right into where we're headed. All right, last time we got together, we're talking about the prayer of intercession. Prayer of intercession. Remember, prayer is the key that opens the door for the kingdom, for the world to enter. So when we pray, when we speak things, we're praying that the door to the kingdom, you know, it becomes open. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer pushes back darkness. Prayer pierces darkness and allows the light to come in. When we intercede, we create an invitation for those we're praying for. Man, I think that was very profound and very powerful. If you caught that revelation, we create access for those whom the Father has already promised, come unto me. You see that? A lot of times, intercessory prayer and prayer in general, if you will, is just paving the path. It's just clearing out the brush. You ever gone to a farmland somewhere? There used to be an old road there, and you had to take down some brush and some, you know, hack your way through. Amen. That's what prayer does. That's what intercession does. It hacks its way through and causes the opportunity for people to be born again. In fact, the reason you're sitting here today is somebody prayed for you. Somebody paved the way for you, no matter how many long years ago it was, and for me, God paved the way and had somebody pray to make that happen. So remember that word I gave you, prayer access. Okay, prayer access. When we pray, we need to pray the acts of Jesus. We need to pray the acts of Jesus. You know, we pray the word of God, Lord God, heal and all these things, but we should also pray the acts of Jesus. Jesus, just like you wiped the blindness out of blind Bartimaeus, do it again today in the blindness of so-and-so. Amen. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still doing the same works he did on earth then, right now. He's the same. He doesn't change. And so I wanted to add that to your faith of not just praying the word, pray the works that Jesus did. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Matthew chapter 9, we talked about identification and to identify. Remember that? About being with the tax collectors. It's hard to find preachers to call you back. It's hard to find preachers to hang out with the sinner or hang out with the person who needs help. He's usually got to be at the golf club with his buddies, the mayor, the congressman, whoever. But Jesus hung out with sinners. I want to get a sign one day that says, sinners welcome. Come on, you ever seen those banners that said, bikers welcome? Or whatever welcome. We just want to get sinners welcome right here. Come on in. That's what we need. Religious, stay home. We don't need no religion. Amen. So Jesus, he saw that man. Remember Matthew 9, he saw the tax collector. He saw Matthew as a man. He fully was aware of his occupation. Everybody knew that. And then what happens? Jesus goes to an IRS convention. A bunch of people get saved. A bunch of publicans show up. It was basically like, you know, a wild type of party, but Jesus was there to bring salvation to people, and the religious folk hated it. Amen. They always hate when we get together with sinners because they think that they're the only ones that have the key to eternal life. You ever been around folks like that? Some of y'all come from churches like that. All right, tonight, in the prayer of intercession, I'm going to give you some key statements. It's going to be a little lengthy, but we're basically going to go to a new level in this intercessory prayer because I'm going to take you to the second key, and I'll give you that second key in just a minute, but we're going to change some gears here. When we pray, watch this now. When we pray at the level of our comfort. When we pray at the level of our comfort. When we intercede, we must intercede at the level of the Holy Spirit's discomfort. Let me try that again. When we pray at the level of our comfort. When we pray, I mean, that's what we do. We pray for Johnny and Linda and Sue and Billy and Bob and Jermaine and whoever. We pray at our comfort. We're sitting down at a meal. We pray over a list. Or before we go to bed, we have our casual prayer. That's our comfort. When we intercede, we must intercede at the level of the Holy Spirit's discomfort. In other words, when we intercede how he feels, the weight that he's carrying, the burden that's on his heart. Because as the Holy Spirit is, he needs a vehicle. He needs a church. He needs a people. He needs a body to function like he wants to. But it's so hard for him to find people that are willing to pray his discomfort. He is a great comforter and he brings comfort, but when it comes to intercession, there are a lot of things that discomfort the heart of God. So I'll say it again. When we pray at the level of our comfort. How many of y'all took a bite of food one time and then you forgot to pray and you started praying and you still got food in your mouth?
Well, Father, bless everyone. And take care of the...
That's our comfort. yawning while we pray, and all those different aspects of our humanity. But when we intercede, we must intercede at the level of the Holy Spirit's discomfort. How? I want you to write that down. How? How? How is that possible? How do we do that? We must be willing to decrease. We must be willing to sanctify and consecrate ourselves to the place where He, the Holy Spirit, overrides our flesh and speaks through us. I'll read it again. We must be willing to decrease. We must be willing to sanctify and consecrate ourselves to the place where He, the Holy Spirit, overrides our flesh and speaks through us. When I say overrides, I mean with our willingness. I'm not teaching some goofy stuff out there where the Holy Spirit just takes over you and you don't have no control and you don't have no willingness to this. That's not how He is. He's a gentleman. He's not going to do anything unless He's invited. He's not going to override your will. If you don't want to pray, He'll go somewhere else. If the church doesn't want to be on fire, He'll find some other body. Don't leave here, Father. You stay right here at 580 East Main Street, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. Amen? I don't want Him moving anywhere. So we must be willing to decrease. We must be willing to sanctify and consecrate ourselves to the place where He, the Holy Spirit, overrides our flesh and speaks through us. That's how we operate in the Holy Spirit's heart, and we operate in the Holy Spirit's mind. This level of intercession, write this down, this level of intercession cannot happen unless we are empty of self. This level of intercession, where we're headed, where we're going this next notch, this next level, this level of intercession cannot happen unless we are empty of self. It's one thing to say a prayer. The Father hears the prayer always. His ears are always open unto the cry of the righteous. His arm is not too short that it cannot save. He responds. He's faithful to hear His people. He's a loving, merciful Father. But this is different. This is praying the heart of the Holy Spirit. This is praying the pulse of God. What is the pulse of God right now? The pulse of God right now is not the prosperity of everybody in this room, as most preachers will preach every Sunday, and some are teaching even tonight. The pulse of God is Puerto Rico. The pulse of God is Mexico. The pulse of God is a guy ready to blow his brains out right now. The pulse of God is the person that's on meth and crack right now in some broken down trailer hidden in the woods. You can't even see it from the road. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So this level of intercession cannot happen unless we're empty of ourselves. If we don't become empty of ourselves, then we can never intercede this way, because we're so full of ourselves, we're so full of our church, we're so full of our denomination, we're so full of our cares, we're so full of our concerns that we can't hear the voice of God because we're too busy saying me, myself, and I. They, them, and those, and whatever's in our little circle. Hear me now. This isn't condemnation. This is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit for all of us. Because you can't get this by just reading a book. This is experiential. You have to lay everything down. So this level of intercession cannot happen unless we empty of ourselves. If we don't carry the cross, it's another statement I want you to, I told it's going to be a little long. If we don't carry the cross, we can't carry His burden for the world. If we don't carry the cross, we can't carry His burden for the world. We won't have a burden for the world because we don't carry the cross. That's why the church is so impotent. That's why the church is so powerless. That's why the church can't reproduce. It's sterile because it doesn't carry the cross and deal with the affliction of the cross that deals with the denial of self. Therefore, no burden of the world could be put on the church because God's not going to waste his anointing. He's not going to waste his time with deadness. If a church doesn't want to be resurrected, if a group of people do not want to be resurrected, God's not going to waste his breath. It's the truth. He's not going to put a burden on them because there's nothing to put in them. There's nothing to put on them. And they don't understand death. They don't understand carrying the cross. Therefore, he can't put a burden on them. But when we do understand that, when we carry our cross, then we begin to have the burdens of the world. That's why people contact this ministry constantly for prayer. That we got to build a new cross. And that's not even all that you know about. I make you aware as many as possible, but some of those are just private. But the point is, if we carry that cross, then God will put more of the burden of the world on us, and we'll be able to intercede and speak the very mysteries of God and speak the heart of God. Not just as a congregation, but in your home. How many of y'all starting to have experiences with intercession stronger since we started this? And a greater burden is coming. And the reason for that is because of consecration, sanctification, and carrying that cross. God says, I can trust you with my most intimate thoughts and details. And that's powerful. That is getting so close to the Father. It's not about nickels and noses and stuff. It's about hearing his voice, the most precious commodity, if you will, the most precious thing in the universe is the very voice of God. Woo, hallelujah. And to know you get to hear it, and to know that he gets to speak through you and begins to put the burden of the world on you is a privilege beyond all privileges of the world. You may have gone to the finest palaces of the world and even spent the night in the White House. Big stinking deal. Give me some time with his majesty. Give me one night with the king. Give me one opportunity to hear his voice. Give me the opportunity to carry prayers all across the oceans to a foreign country and watch something take place. That's the most powerful thing you could ever experience. So if we don't carry the cross, we can't carry his burden for the world. And this is an element of intercession that many miss. Many miss this because they go into the theological understanding of intercession and not to the relational side of intercession. And that's why we've gone this route, so that we can be relational with God. Because I want to be able to pray the prayers of God. I want to pray the heart of God. I want to pray the understanding of the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. Religion is based on rules. Religion is based on rules. That's why we're not getting into the rules, if you will, the formalization of prayer. Religion is based on rules. Relationship is based on love. Religion is based on rules. Relationship is based on love. And I want to come at that foundational truth when I start teaching this, what I'm going to teach you, because this is not religion. This has got nothing to do with religion. This is 10 billion gazillion galaxies away from religion. This is relationship. You got that down. So key number one that I've been teaching thus far, I don't even know how long I've been doing it, but key number one for intercession has been identity or identification. Identity or identification. We have to identify with the world. We have to identify with the sinner. We have to identify. We have to recognize we got a problem, Houston. That'd be a good start for the church to recognize and realize we got a problem. Instead of hiding our heads in some denominational sand, hiding our heads in some committee sand, and looking around our community and recognizing, realizing we have a serious issue. So that's identification. That's identify. Key number two that I'm going to teach, and I don't know how far that'll go till I get to key number three, but if you're enjoying the ride, just wave at me and I'll keep driving. But key number two is suffering. Agony. Suffering. This is when we put the plow one more notch lower. When it comes to intercession. Because now, this is where responsibility begins. This is where lifestyles change. This is where the splinters of the cross are start to be felt. You can't fake this part. This is the part you can't fake. You can fake church. You can fake everything else about church and this and that that we do. But this is where it's real. That sound okay? Let's do this. John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 real quick. This is good for us right here. Because if we're ever going to see the end time miracles of God and see the great manifestation of His Holy Spirit and for Him to trust us to the next level, we've got to go to the next level ourselves. So remember, this is not based on religion, which is rules. This is based on relationship, which is love. John chapter 3, verse 30, very simple. We could quote it, but let's let our eyes look upon it together. John chapter 3, verse 30 says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Very simple scripture, but very profound. John was in transition. John understood what was about to take place in his life and in his ministry. John was going to go from the number one man to the third man in the cell. That's a good book if you've never read that before. He recognized that he was no longer going to be the one in the spotlight, per se. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He preached that the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin was here. He baptized the Lord Jesus. But now he came to that point where he recognized and realized that he must increase. The Lord Jesus would increase, but that I must decrease. The word increase means to become greater. John recognized and realized that Jesus must become greater. And if we're ever going to speak the voice of God and the words of God and carry the burden and have supernatural manifestation of His word and of His will and to see the glory, and I believe even to be translated, I believe we're going to see that in these last days where we'll be translated as we're in intercessory prayer. Some of y'all are going to be off in Africa. Now, some listeners I just lost. But don't forget about Philip and his experience and others. But I believe that. I believe supernatural things to take place in greater ways. Thank God we don't have to go through TSA. We don't have to be rubbed down. I mean, patted down. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Long lines, turbulence in the air. We just. See, God's going to do some things that are going to blow the church away. We talk so much about the end times and what the devil's going to do. We talk about all the destruction and judgment, but very few talk about the flip side of what God is going to do in the midst of it. We talk about it here. We're going to see the glory of God. I've been preaching that for a long time. And we have been, but it's going to be greater. Well, how are we going to do it? He must increase. He must become greater. If we're ever going to be in an interceding church, and that's what I want to be known for. I want us to be known for not just the glory and the power of God and the healings and the miracles. I also want to be known as a church that intercedes, a church that prays, a church that believes God for miracles in foreign lands and right down the road and in your own home. But we must allow Jesus to become greater in our lives. He must become greater in this ministry. And then he said, I must decrease. Simply saying, I must be less. It's a great song, Less of Me and More of You. Remember that? We used to sing that here. We need to sing that again. It's a beautiful song. More of him. It's got to be less of us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm bringing some scripture out that I'm going to teach this and stand on this as my foundation. Because the only way we're going to get to that greater place in God, into that greater depth of intercession, is by carrying that cross, is becoming less of my worries, less of me, less of what I want to see happen in my church. I'm talking to preachers now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Man, you know, I could just want to do this whole chapter. But I'm going to go to verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And after manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage of me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He said, I die daily. Now, there is an understanding that Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth, and he was saying, listen, I have been through so much. I have fought. I have been in shipwreck. I've been snake bit. And these were speaking of his natural adventures and his natural opportunities to be taken out. But it also brings us to the understanding that he died daily to himself. That Paul, to be an apostle, not to be shipwrecked in his life and to shipwreck other people, he had to endure the cross. He had to carry the cross. He had to abstain from some things that would have brought him pleasure, some things that would have brought him fame, some things that would have brought him opportunity. But he chose in his own mind to sanctify himself, to set himself aside, to consecrate himself unto God. So the greater power and the greater good of God would be upon him. In intercession, in this level, we must be associated with suffering. I'm not talking about beating yourself up with a stick or a belt or all the craziness that false religions and cults do. I'm talking about dying to yourself and your flesh in order to gain greater power with God. In other words, letting some things go in our lives, some things in our appetite, some things in our desire, some things that we want so desperately, but that we can give up in order to get closer to God. You see, I believe, again, that most churches do not intercede because they don't carry the cross. They're surfeiting, they're partying, their pastors are partying, their pastors are always into something. The pastors, they get done preaching and they're selling Avon in the parking lot. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Or they got some Tupperware going on, or they got some side business, whatever, make money, that's fine. But my point is this, their concentration and their focus is not on the things of God. It's on making money and it's on building buildings. It's causing people to come in their churches, and they're more worried about the ministry of me than the ministry of he and him. I'm telling you. If we're ever going to see the glory for the purpose of why we're in this spot, why we're right here and the opportunity God has given us, we're going to have to carry the cross. And we are going to, and we must die daily. Paul said, I die daily. Paul was a tremendous orator. Paul was a theologian. Paul, very few could match Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul was very witty. He was intelligent. He had great gifts about him. But Paul chose to live the life of an apostle, carrying his cross and dying daily, than to have the riches of the world. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ in this hour has sold its birthright for a pottage of nothingness. We have sold our birthright for fool's gold. Instead of being a dominating, dynamic force on the earth, we've become a ship of fools. We're powerless in this hour. Our prayers are powerless because we don't know the power of the cross. We don't know the suffering of Jesus. We don't know the suffering of our brothers and sisters worldwide or even down the road. We're so far from the first church. Is everybody still here? But this is what we must get to. We must get to the place where we recognize the suffering of Christ and we die daily. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, as we teach about the great evangelist in ISM, and I'm so looking forward to doing that teaching again. But she said this before she got on stage. She said, I die 1,000 deaths. She said, I die 1,000 deaths. To herself, to her will, to her appetite, to her desires, to her flesh, and so on and so forth. What if we did that every day we woke up as Christians and said, God, I die 1,000 deaths. I die 1,000 times. I die daily to myself. Let your will be done today. No, most Christians wake up and say, God, bless me, feed me, clothe me. Is anybody here? We do that. Yes, we do. We all do. And that's elementary. But if there comes a time when the Father says, could you just ask me what I want for you today? And see, that's what becoming an intercessor is all about. And one of the misnomers in church is this, that an intercessor is a called out person alone. Where there is some truth to that, the reality is we're all intercessors. And we all must live the crucified life. How many of y'all want more power? If you want more power, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me today. If you want more power and more power in your prayer life, die. Die. That's where you lose most people right there. Because Jesus said to those that were following him when they saw all the miracles and all the fancy stuff, I just feel like preaching tonight. I really do. I wish I was in front of 10,000 people. Remember that? All those people coming around him. And Jesus said, you didn't come here for me. You came here for the food, for the stuff. I'm paraphrasing it. He says, now you need to eat my body and drink my blood. And a whole lot of people left him, didn't they? Didn't understand what he was requiring of them. That's what he said, die. And here's what he told me, die means decrease in everything. That's what he told me, decrease in everything. That's the act of humility, is decreasing in everything. Going before the Father and say, where do I need to decrease? Well, you need to decrease over here. You need to stop spending so much time with this person. You need to get off that stupid Facebook. You need to quit texting everybody and their mama. And your eyes can't even see straight. You need to put that cell phone down. need to put that cheeseburger up. Is anybody my friend or not? I feel all alone in this Episcopalian church. Somebody listening says, oh, Episcopalian? That's how they act? No, I'm sorry. There wouldn't be Wednesday night. Decrease in everything. We don't hear this anymore. We don't have this type of conviction. We don't have this type of instruction anymore in the church because everything's about us. It's about me and how much more I can get and what more can I wear and how much more can I shove in the closet instead of saying, God, clean my closet because I want to intercede. I want to feel what you feel, God, because I'm telling you, there's some deep stuff that God wants to say to the church, not just to the preacher, but to the church. But he can't because we're too cluttered. We can't because we've got too much cobwebs in the brain. We got too much going on. We're too media mindset. We're in the matrix. And we're thinking about this and what that person commented and what I got to get back and tell them. And I got to thumbs up this person and put a thumb somewhere else. Y'all catch that later. They ought to change that. They ought to give you three options. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and thumb somewhere else. I'm glad that wasn't videotaped. Some of y'all would buy that, wouldn't you? I want that app. I'd buy it. Because I face a lot of people, I like to show them that one. Because the reality is this, man. I got to get back over. Y'all look scared. The reality is this, that we have a responsibility to make ourselves available to God. But if we're so caught up with everything else, we're so caught up with going here and going there, and so caught up with trying to please this person and please this group and contact them and connect with those people, we lose the connectivity with God. We need to unplug from the world. We need to connect with God. Some of y'all need to reboot your router in your relationship with God, including me. Amen? So, Lord, I die daily. I die daily. So profound words from a mighty man of God. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. I don't think you can handle me another 15 minutes, so I'll try to close here at 9. I'm going to get you all some pillows. And Colossians chapter 3. Is this helping anybody besides me? It's helping me. Because I'm going to tell you, if we're ever going to see this revival, this outpouring of his Holy Spirit and what he wants to do, he's got to have an available body. He's got to have a vessel he can live in. He's got to have a vessel that's clean. He's got to have a vessel that is willing to carry the weight that he wants to lay on the church. The problem with the church is this, that we're so out of shape spiritually that if he put his glory on us, it'd kill us. If he really showed up like he wants to, we couldn't handle the weight of his glory. We got so much stuff. I'm just talking in general terms. I'm not talking to Ignited in general, specifically. But there are so many messed up churches and so many messed up preachers and so many messed up Christians that if the glory of God really came in its purest form, many would be dead because of sin. And they couldn't handle his glory. They couldn't handle his presence. They'd be blinded like Paul. I don't want to be shipwrecked. I don't want to miss this move of God. I don't want to miss the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, because I'm not giving like I'm supposed to. I'm not obeying the Father in the simplest principles of tithing, the simplest principles of offering, the simple principles of being loyal to the Word. It's always the small foxes, the flies. Verse 5, are you there? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. crucify. Therefore, your members on the earth for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, covetousness, which is idolatry, and so on and so forth. He speaks of it. But he said, mortify the members of your body. Crucify them. In other words, say, God, I take my life and I put it upon your cross of consecration. The desires that I have, the things that I want to do, the things that I want to become. And this could be as simple as your prayer time. Simple as saying, God, I need to make space for you. I need to make a place for you. So here I take my flesh and my own time and my own desires and I put them on that cross. And I say, Holy Spirit, help me so that I can become more like you. That I would decrease so that you would increase. Self must be released from itself to become an agent of the Holy Ghost. Write that down. Self must be released from itself to become an agent of the Holy Ghost. There must be a disconnect from my world and from my longings. There must be a disconnect from my timings, my schedules, my appointments, my priorities, and rearrange them by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's part of consecration. We're not talking about you going and doing some ritual and something crazy and going to an extreme with things. We're talking about Holy Spirit, do an inventory of my life. Show me how I can disconnect from the world and connect to you, so that you could fill me to the fullest and that you can operate through me and that I can intercede for the nations of the world and teach me how to suffer like Jesus did. See, when we hear suffer, and that's so foreign in the church, it probably sounds like cuss words to many listening. When we speak of suffering, we're not talking about the physical things necessarily of being a martyr or craziness that cults do. We're talking about just the suffering of taking your flesh and crucifying it and saying, not my will, but your will be done. Some of that may be as easy or as hard as praying for someone you got a problem with right now. But I'm going to tell you something. If you pray for those who persecute you, if you pray for those who deal with you in the wrong way, the glory of God rests on you. You're suffering like Jesus did. We pray for these foreign countries. We pray for these entities and enemies and so on and so forth. We suffer with Christ. We suffer with our brothers and sisters worldwide. You know, it was a tragedy that many people, when there was a tremendous purging going on in the Middle East, that so few people in the church really prayed for our brothers and sisters. I remember that. I remember talking to y'all about it and preaching it and hearing comments from people saying that they were a different type of Christian and they were different type of believers. When some of the greatest martyrs of our day were children in the Middle East who would not bow to Muhammad, but said, Jesus is my Lord, with their dying breath. Those are my heroes. I'm closing with these few comments. If we want resurrection power, we must live a crucified life. If we want resurrection power, we must live a crucified life. That's what we have to do to see the glory of God. When I began, I said, when we pray at the level of our comfort. When we intercede, we must intercede at the level of the Holy Spirit's discomfort. What bothers him? What bothers the Lord right now? What keeps the Lord up at night? The Bible says that the Holy One never sleeps nor slumbers. Why is that? What keeps God up? Why does he stay awake? He stays awake, I believe, for the souls of mankind. I believe he stays awake because his love in his heart is so huge, it could never sleep nor slumber. Heavenly Father, I pray, beginning with me, that you would transform me and translate me into another man. That by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father God, and the carrying of the cross, that I would die daily to the desires of my heart. I don't know how to do that, Jesus, on my own. And I will not make religion out of it. But I will stand before you in relationship, asking for the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, for the all-seeing eye of a mighty God that pierces to the very core of humanity. And I would ask for you to breathe life into me, into this church. Breathe life into everybody listening tonight to be an intercessor, to carry the cross of Christ, and to have fellowship with the suffering of that cross. You paid the price physically, Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. No man could ever take those nails, and no man could ever wear that crown of thorns. But Lord, we can carry the cross that you've given to us, and we can intercede with the power of the resurrected Lord within us. And that's what I pray for everybody listening to me tonight. Father, help us to decrease in order that Jesus would increase. In his mighty name, I pray. Amen. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday morning. It's going to be a good time in the Lord.